He has the administration of Sicily, the Norman kingdom behind him. He's going to actually tax these guys. He puts in what are known as bailies, that is, bailiffs, as in effect is what the word is. It's overseers who are directly responsible to the king. There's going to be taxes collected. This causes enormous stir within the kingdom of Jerusalem. Of course, opposition forms immediately. And after Frederick leaves, there is a force that is retained in Outremer, an imperial force, that is soldiers of mostly Italians and some Germans that are paid by Frederick, under his representative, Richard Phil Anghieri, who is as unpopular as he comes, and for the next 10 years is battling with the barons of Outremer to impose Hohenstaufen rule. So this brief excursion of Frederick is not looked upon very kindly by the nobility in Outremer. Furthermore, Frederick, as I said, had really no point in waging a war. He courts Al-Kamil. And in this case, he's in an excellent position. He speaks Arabic. Al-Kamil is impressed. And in early 1229, Frederick, who's under excommunication, this is so ironic, signs a treaty with Al-Kamil who gives back Jerusalem and Bethlehem. He's impressed by Frederick. He also annoys a nephew of Al-Kamil who's supposed to control the area. And Frederick goes back in triumph. Now, this puts the papacy in a strange position. There's a complicated war in Italy, and the excommunication is lifted, and then it's issued again in 1239, and Gregory the Ninth starts preaching a crusade against Frederick and his successors. But the Christians did get back Jerusalem. Unfortunately, Frederick II left a political mess just as Richard I did. Outremer is bitterly divided between the imperialists, that is the supporters of not so much Frederick, but the son of Frederick, Conrad, the son of Frederick and Yolanda Isabel, who's the true heir in their mind, as opposed to the nobility who had other notions in mind, including what one historian characterizes as legalized and anarchy. That is, you know, essentially the nobles assert themselves. Well, it's clear there's need for reinforcements. Some lesser crusades show up. Some of the nobles like Theobald of Champagne, Earl Richard of Cornwall. But essentially, Outremer is in a political mess. It's in these circumstances, I mentioned earlier, that these Turkoman mercenaries, these fellows from Khorasan, who had been kicked out of Central Asia by the Mongols, descended down from the Al Jazeera and seized Jerusalem in early 1244. And destroyed the tombs of the kings of Jerusalem, and then trotted off to Egypt to the then-ruling Ayyubid Sultan, Najm ad-Din, and offered their services to him. And the Sultan in Egypt thought, well, this is great. I've got Turkish soldiers. He's always in need of these tribal regiments because he depends heavily on those Mamluk slave forces. And he takes this force and moves into Palestine, into Outremer. And his intention, in part, is to knock out all of his relatives ruling different emirs and sultanates in Syria, but also, now that he has Jerusalem, to preach a jihad, to get reputation by waging holy war against the Franks of the coast. And what happens is a very strange alliance forms. The Frankish nobility put aside their differences. They've been battling over whether they want Hohenstaufen rule or essentially no rule, and there's probably very little to choose from at this point in the way the situation is. The nobility of Outremer rally to fight as a united force against this new Muslim invasion, this new jihad, and they also ally with most of the Ayyubid sultans and emirs of Syria, that is the relatives of the Sultan Najm ad-Din, who see that this expedition is also intended to humble them. And these two large armies, and they are particularly large armies, on both sides, well over 20,000 men apiece. The Turkoman mercenaries are reputedly 10,000. So these may be armies of on the size of 30,000, at least on the Ayyubid side, the Sultan side. They clash near Gaza on October 17th, 1244. It's the battle of, it's known as La Forbi, named after a fortress in the area. And it's a disaster. The Crusaders go down in crushing defeat. They fought bravely, but they were just outflanked and overwhelmed. Most of the Ayyubid sultans of Syria also went down. This establishes the authority of the sultan. Najm has now got essentially control of that whole Ayyubid inheritance. And in the fighting, the man who distinguished himself the most, and a fellow who had actually distinguished himself fighting the Crusaders as early as the Fifth Crusade, was a Mamluk general by the name of Baybars or Baybors. He's several ways to transliterate the name from Turkish, and it's clear that the Mamluks had distinguished themselves. Well, the defeat near Gaza gets back to Western Europe, and it almost has the impact of Hattin. because Jerusalem had now been lost for a second time.